message was preached at the Holy Convocation, which held between the 27th and 30th October 2010 at Nisi Center along Maraban Rido Road, Kaduna, with the theme Grow in Grace. For further inquiries and counsel, please contact Refuge Media, No. 1 Constitution Road, Trinity Methodist Shopping Arcade, P.O. Box 7332, telephone 070-2971-9745, 070-3456-8035, email treasuresteam@yahoo.com, or visit our website at www.theplaceofrefuge.org. Please sit back and listen as God's servant brings forth the word of life.
Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. 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 Make me your battle axe, Lord, in thy quiver, tried, trimmed, sharpened in your furnace, me for my master's use, O Lord, grace. Oh, all I plead for, grace to serve the heart. Oh, grace to love the more. Amen. Our Father, we have come to this crucial moment again. And our heart yearns for only one thing from you tonight, is grace. As we're looking at growing, waxing strong in the spirit, as to be able to bear, to be able to carry the weight of the spiritual things that you want us to carry in life. It became clear to us that if you will not have mercy on us, we may just remain like this. So Lord, tonight we pray for grace. We plead with you that mercy will attend to our lives in the name of Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, please be with us tonight as you break your word to our hearts. And let your word mix with faith in us that it will do us good and will never remain the same again. Thank you for what you have been doing in our midst. Thank you for those that you have stretched forth your hands to heal. Again, if anybody stands in this meeting tonight with any ailment, with any attack from the kingdom of darkness, we stretch forth our hands to that life now. And we demand that by the reason of the anointing, let that yoke be broken in the name of Jesus. By the reason of the resurrection of the Lord, when he descended to the lower part, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. Tonight, every captivity upon your lives, we take it captive in the name of Jesus. Every activity of Satan that has never been authorized by our God, we outlaw it in your lives and in this congregation in the name of Jesus. Lord, we have decided to seek first your kingdom. Well, you told us that yes, seek you first the kingdom of God, all other things shall be added. So I ask, of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayer. Even this night, as you send your word to us, as the word of God is going, let it keep walking. Let it keep bringing about newness. Thank you. In Jesus' name, we are praying. Amen. Please be seated. God bless you tonight. I want to welcome all of you again.
In the afternoon, how many of you were here? We are not here in the afternoon, so that I'll be sure. Then, all right. There are a few of you that could not come in the afternoon. The Lord will take you along. All I want to suggest to you is that we may not be able to recap the serious issues that God began to raise when we went architectural and civil engineers were beginning to help us to interpret the scriptures about growing, about reinforcement in the spirit man. We can't recap that, but you can pick the messages on the DVD. I think our brothers have been doing very serious, hard work to make sure those things are ready. So please feel free to make use of them. You will need to go through them over and over again as it will please the Lord to guide you. Tonight, I'm going forward. We're going forward. You know, I've been dealing with dimensions, and I thought that dimensions would be only one talk, but as at this morning, it became apparent that the only thing we can deal with during this meeting will be dimensions. Dimensions of spiritual growth. We've dealt with the dimension of a growing intimacy with God, the dimension of a reinforced, a growing inner man. That's what we dealt with in the afternoon. Tonight, we're going to deal with the dimension of growing in favor with God and with man. If there's space, then God will help us to take the issues of the instrumentalities which we began to introduce in the afternoon. We will do that also before we leave. Will you again read the passages I have been reading? You know, we have been reading three sets of passages and we have not been able to overcome them. We just pray that God will breathe upon these scriptures for our lives in the name of Jesus Christ. We have read 1 Samuel. We have read 1 Samuel. But for tonight, we'll read 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 26. 1 Samuel 2, 26. And we'll read 3, 19 up to 21. That's what we can read there today. And then we'll go back to the passage about Jesus who grew and increased in favor with God and with man. Now, 1 Samuel 2:26, and the child Samuel grew on and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men. Chapter 3, verse 19. And Samuel grew and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Praise the Lord. You will keep your hand on these two passages tonight, because I'm going to be spending much of our discussion on it while we'll be making reference to other places as the Lord will guide us. And Luke chapter 2, we've read it, but let's read it again, because there are key passages for tonight. Luke and chapter 2. We read verse 40 and verse 52. So let me again read those two verses together before we go. And the child grew and was strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, and in favor with God and man. Tonight, we are dealing with growing in favor with God and growing in favor with men. What would that mean as a dimension of spiritual growth that each one of us will need to pursue? We need to pursue. I was reminding you the other day that there were few men that grew in their pursuit with God to the point that they became favored. They grew in favor with God. David was such a man. He said, I don't know what me and my family have done that you have done me so great a favor. And I don't know whether you remember that even when Solomon began to misbehave, and he had misbehaved so much that God was ready to scatter him, God said, I will have wiped off your memory if not for David, your father, who is my servant. So for that reason, even though I will scatter the kingdom, I must leave a portion for David. Do you understand that? Moses was a man who grew also in favor with God to such an extent that one time God was speaking to Jeremiah and said, the sin of these people is so much that even if Moses and Daniel were to come and intercede on their behalf, I will not likely listen. Why was God talking about Moses and Daniel? He was speaking about men that he could not easily refuse. Men that whatever God has decided, when they step in and say, Father, the Father will say, Kai, because of you, it's okay. So, what we're talking about is that when a man has come to know Christ as Lord and Savior, that is the basic, that is the critical, crucial beginning. But as you grow in your walk with the Savior, there are these dimensions in which God is expecting you also to pursue your growth. Growth in favor with God. Now, let me quickly define what I mean when I come across the scripture that says, and he grew in favor with God and with man. What it means is that he grew in God's presence to such a point that he has won God's favor. God is favorably, God is favorably disposed towards him. Hallelujah. Now, I know if I didn't approach it from here, if I approach it from a more familiar passage, all of you will say, we understood. Do you remember that the Bible says, When Jesus Christ went to be baptized by River Jordan, and the heavens were opened, do you remember what was the declaration from heaven? Do you remember? What was it? "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." That statement is a statement of divine favor. It's a statement of an approver. God is saying, "This is my well-beloved Son, in whom I am what? I am well pleased. I am completely happy with him. He is my favorite." On the Mount of Transfiguration, when Jesus Christ was being transfigured and Moses and Elijah came, and Peter was saying, "Let's make three tabernacles." Did you remember that there was another voice that came from the excellent glory? And what did he say? "This is my beloved Son. This is my well-beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." Hallelujah. Do you remember that when Daniel had prayed for several days and weeks, and they were to bring the answer right from heaven? This is in Daniel chapter 10. How the angel came and was going to greet Daniel. And he said, "Daniel, a man how greatly beloved." So when I use the word to grow in favor with God, the equivalent word that you find again repeated all over scripture is that he has become God's beloved. Is that okay? He has become one which anywhere he is, God is favorably disposed towards him. And whatever he touches, God is favorably disposed towards it. And wherever he goes, God is favorably disposed towards him. And whatever he is involved in, God causes it to prosper because he's a man of God's favor. Praise the Lord. And when you go on reading, as you touch different people in scriptures, you will find that this is a parameter of growth. It is not something that just happened because God wanted it. It's a parameter of growth. It's a dimension of spiritual growth. Now, before I go on to deal with how to grow in that direction, I want to describe how to know it. What are the manifestations when a man is growing in favor with God? Now, that's why I wanted you to take note of the few verses we read in 1 Samuel. I want you to read it again as we go gradually over it. Now, in 1 Samuel 2:26, we're told that Samuel grew on. When they use the word "he grew on," what does that mean? He keeps growing. Is progressive. May I quickly note that all the dimensions of growth that I'm dealing with, they are progressive. Is that okay? They don't stop. One dimension of growth does not stop for another one to start. Your growth in intimacy with God will keep growing on because it has no end. You can never be over intimate with God. The more closer to Him you are, the more you will discover you are still far. Praise the Lord. The more you think you have come near, the more you thought, I have known Him now, the more you discover that there's so much of Him that you are totally ignorant about. So, growing even in intimacy with God is a continuous process that does not stop. Is that okay? Now, growing, waxing strong in the Spirit, developing your inner man, the way the Holy Spirit put it in 2 Corinthians, that our inner man is being renewed. How? Day by day. The song we have been singing as our anthem says, we all, beholding Him with unveiled face, we are being changed into His likeness from one degree of glory to another. One version says, from glory to glory to glory to glory. The implication of that is that this growth we are talking about does not stop. Praise the Lord. It's progressive and it's cumulative. When you begin to grow well, you find that there's more room to grow. Those who feel they have grown, they are dying. Those who think, oh yes, I've grown, what are they talking about? I've grown. Honestly speaking, whenever you thought you have grown, you are dying. So, may I say that the issues that God is confronting you with here is for life. How long will you grow? For life. For life. Every day, there will be room to grow into. No matter how much you have known, there's much to know. No matter how close you think you are being with Him, oh my God, as you go on, you see that, there's so much of Him that you are yet to know. Right. But because I want to focus on this particular dimension of growth, and I want to speak about it very, very clearly and explicitly, I'm trusting God to give me help, I want you to first bear that in mind. He grew on. It's going to be continuous. So even when we talk about growing in favor with God and with men, it's going to be a continuous, cumulative, progressive experience. But you need to be definite about it. You need to be definite about it. There are few instructions you will find in the mouth of Jesus and of the elders on how to grow in favor with God. It has to be a growing. One of the things you quickly saw, and they said the child was in favor both with the Lord and also with men. One of the first things you quickly see when they noted that in this particular verse was the fact that there was a contrast between Samuel and the other children of Eli, Ophni and Phinehas. You will notice that in that chapter 2, God has just complained about the sins of Eli's sons. And in contrast, God was bringing verse 26. So, one first point I wanted to note about growing in favor with the Lord will be growing in obedience, in conformity to the will of God. Are we together? Growing deliberately to love the Lord and to love His word. You will not be in favor with God when you keep doing what contradicts God's will. You will not be in favor with God when you are involved in things that He hates. You will not be in favor with God when you are involved in things that are contrary to His will. You will not be in favor with God when every time God looks back, He says, I regret anointing Saul. He has departed from my ways. You will not be in favor with God when what you are doing gives God a sense of disappointment. Are you hearing me? So the first matter about growing in favor with God, and I'm putting it as a matter of growing. Please take note. I wish I can put it more straightforward. It's a matter of growing, that it's a deliberate desire in your heart that I want to grow to please God. I want to progressively please God. I want God to be happy every time He looks down on the face of the earth and He says, there is somebody there. That if He looks down into your family, if He looks down into the school where you are teaching, if He looks down into the church where you are worshiping, if He looks down into wheresoever you are located, even if everything else saddens God's heart, are you hearing me? He should smile when He sees you. How many of you would like to grow progressively to give God joy? Are you hearing me? How many of you desire that, Lord, progressively, I want you. I want your will to prosper in my heart progressively. That as I'm growing, I don't just want you to tolerate me. I want you to enjoy me. I don't just want you to say, well, since I have decided to have mercy on him, have mercy on him. I wish, Lord, that my life also every time brings you a sense of satisfaction. The way I used to pray about it, I said, Lord, even though I cannot qualify for your mercy, I never qualify for your mercy, I never qualify for the grace that you have given me, but Lord, help me to progressively grow to justify your choice. You see, I can't qualify for His mercy. I don't know why He chose me. I don't know why He loved me so much. I don't know why He picked me from the merry confusion where I was. I don't know why God so much, took me and brought me to Himself. I don't know why. I don't qualify for what God has done. But my prayer, personal prayer, I've been praying this for all my years. Lord, I cannot qualify, but I wish by my life your choice of me will be justified. That people will not stand up and say, look at him, and God will have to cover his face. No. But I found that is not just a one-time prayer. I found that is going to be a continuous, progressive growth that I need to pursue to grow in favor with God. Praise the Lord. So the first thing that I would like to note about growing in favor with God is a deliberate progressive desire to please God and to become a pleasure to God. What I'm saying, is it looking too abstract? I need to hear from you. Is it abstract? How many of you are designing that, Lord, I wish in my lifetime I become a pleasure to you? That in my lifetime, God should find a reason to smile and say, I have a child there. He pleases me. He's my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. At first, I thought only Jesus can bring that kind of pleasure to God. But as I studied the Bible again and again, I discovered that actually, God is looking for many, many sons and daughters that gives him joy, that do him proud, that his favor can be on their heads. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, let me go on so that you can see this, because before I end tonight, we will be dealing with how to pursue that, how to do it. But let's understand what we are talking about in terms of understanding before we deal with the practice of this. Praise the Lord. Now, when you go to chapter 3, you will see another dimension of it. You will see another dimension of it. You see another dimension of it. In chapter 3, verse 19, the Bible says, and Samuel grew, and the Lord was what? Was with him, and did not let any of his words fall to the ground. At first, I used to think that what they are saying is that Samuel did not let any of God's word fall to the ground, which would have been wonderful, which would have been good. But I found that whether it's Samuel that did that, but there was a reciprocate from God. That God also did what? Make sure that anything Samuel demanded or declared, God caused his word to do what? To hold. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Until you become a preacher, you will not know the value of this matter. Until you stand in the presence of God and thousands of people are looking unto you for help, and you stood and say, in the name of the Lord, it will be like this. And you went back, and what you said it will be like this was not like it. There is nothing as challenging any man who wants to serve God than that. But then I again discovered that for God to honor my words and back it up with his power is a question of the growth in my relationship with him. The question of, is this man growing in favor with God? That when he declares something in the name of the Lord, God will say, yes, since you have said it in my name, I'm not going to disgrace you, neither will I disgrace myself. As Samuel grew, God decided to favor him so that whenever he speaks, his words never fail to the ground. Now, I want to conclude by saying, it could be that it was Samuel that first did not allow God's word to fall to the ground in his own life. It could be Samuel that anything God says to him, he made sure that it was not wasted. He made sure that every word that God says, he obeys it, he carries it, and he moves with it. He didn't allow God's word to fall to the ground. And as a result, God also has come to a point where he will not allow the words of Samuel to fall to the ground. You remember when Saul was looking for his father's ass? You remember the servant of Saul that they were going together? Do you remember? You remember what the young man said? He said, there is a man of God here. There is a seer here. Whatever he says, does what? Comes to pass. What a name. What a name. Let's go to that man. Whatever he says to you, that's it. God honors his word every time. Now, when a man begins to grow in favor with God, God causes confirmation of what he says. God brings about the fulfillment of what he says. Even when it doesn't look likely, God goes all the way to make sure his word comes to pass. Now, again, I want to note that that is not automatic. That is a matter of what? Of growth. Praise the Lord. Now, but you see, when a man has grown in favor with God, when a man has developed in favor with God, do you know what happens now? The Bible says, if the way of a man pleases the Lord, what does God do? God makes all his enemies to be at peace with him. So when a man has begun to grow in favor with God, several things will begin to happen. God is favorably disposed to him to the extent that God is willing to defend him. God will be willing to do what? To defend him. When a man is growing in favor with God, all doors, anything that belongs to God, God gives him a free entrance into God's purposes, into God's things, into God's provisions. Doors are open to him of their own accord because God's favor is upon him. Are we together? Praise the Lord. So, two things we will see quickly here. As Samuel grew, there was the evidence of the Lord that was with him, and none of his words fall to the ground. Now, what is the result of that in verse 20 of chapter 3? And all Israel. And all Israel. From where? From Dan, even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. What does that mean? When a man grows in favor with God, God grants him divine introduction. God introduces him to people even without him talking. God will give me help to be able to make what I want to say to you tonight simple and explicit. Because I really desire that when we rise from this meeting, growth pants will fall on you. A desire You know, you will hate stagnation. God will cause you to detest any form of stagnation. You will just want to grow. Because that's where the key unto your inheritance is. If you don't grow, there will be a problem. You cannot enter into your inheritance in God. Now, do you know that as soon as a man begins to grow in favor with God, God speaks about him to people. God introduces him. Actually, when you grow in favor with God, you will begin to have favor with men. People will not know why they are doing you good. They will not know why they are running around for you. Whenever anything concerns you, you just see people being compelled. You don't know what has compelled them. They say, if it is for this brother, we must do it. But again, this does not come by going about bribing people or trying to be a nice man here and there. Mm-mm. It comes by first and foremost growing in favor with God. As you grow in favor with God, you will see God creating favors for you among men. So, Samuel, all Israel now knew from Dan even to Beersheba, that is from the length and breadth of Israel, they knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. This is not because he was scattering his posters everywhere. This was not because he was going up and down announcing that I'm a man of God, I'm a prophet. No. People just began to know because the Lord was beginning to introduce Samuel to them. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, what is the next important thing that manifests when God's favor settles on a man's life? Verse 21 is a very simple verse, but very, 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 very deep. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh. Do you know that in chapter 3, the Bible had told us, chapter 3, verse 1, and the word of the Lord was what? Was cast. In those days, there was no open vision. God never came again. Even though the word of God said, where two or three are gathered together, I will be there in their midst. But because a wrong man is on the altar, God refused to come. Are you following? So, but because God has now found a man with whom his favor has settled. Can you see? And the Lord appeared again. Where? In Shiloh. Why? Why? For the Lord revealed himself to who? To Samuel in Shiloh. I don't know how to say that very quickly. But can you imagine that people can gather in a meeting like this? And if God ever came, he came to visit who? Samuel. So if Samuel was not in that meeting, what will happen? God will not be there. Some years ago, when I came at this, it created a very serious hunger in my heart. Very serious hunger. What was that hunger? I said, God, what do you need to do to me that anywhere I went, even if you are not intending to visit that place before, but because I am there, can you visit me there? And let your presence come into a place at my instance. I don't know how you understand what I'm talking about. So I quietly believed that I can go into a Catholic meeting where they are burning incense. And it does not matter. If I were there and God has decided to have favor and mercy on me, there, my son is there, let me visit him. And simply because I am in that meeting, the presence of God overwhelms the place. And we say, God came to our church today. God, we saw God. But when the man that God had visited moves out of that place, what happens again? I wish you would be a man who is growing in God's favor. You see, whereas they said the word of the Lord had become scarce, there was no open vision. People gather year in and year out, God is no more interested in them. But the Lord appeared again in Shiloh because the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. So how can a man grow in favor with God? How can I develop this kind of relationship that could attract God's presence, that could commit God to do things just because a friend of his is involved? And it's an issue of growth. Hallelujah. So let's return to Jesus. Can we return to Jesus now? How did Jesus achieve that? On one hand, you say, well, it's Jesus. It's Jesus. But again, as you study the Bible, you find that even for Jesus, it was a question of growth. Let's return. I want you to return. We're going to read few passages as much as we can tonight. The Lord will help us in the name of Jesus. Now, let's start with the Luke. The Luke passage we started reading before we go to other passages. The church grew and was strong in spirit, filled with wisdom. And the grace of God was upon him. Grace of God rested upon him. What is grace? Grace is that thing that makes a man unique, makes him to be able to do what otherwise he could not have been able to do. Grace is a divine input, a divine enablement into a man's life that makes him do beyond what his ordinary parents could have done. And it looks as if as Jesus grew and worked strong in the Spirit, something was manifest. What is it? The grace of God. But for Samuel, the way they put it, and the Lord was with him. For Joseph, they said, and the Lord was with him. Hallelujah. Those words are used interchangeably several times. And the grace of God was upon him. Was upon him. And in the verse 52, we are told that he increased in wisdom. You remember that we are told that he was filled with wisdom in verse 40. Eh? What have you seen in verse 52 now? So what does that show? That shows growth. He increased in wisdom. But he was filled with wisdom in verse 40. Where is the space for the increase? I'd like to tell you that, honestly speaking, you may be full now, but there's still another room for you to do what? To increase, to enlarge. Now, and as he increased in wisdom and increased in stature, I don't want to spiritualize that stature. He grew big. He grew tall. He developed physically. But when you know that the Bible spoke about the stature, the measure, the stature of the measure, the measure of the stature of Christ, you will know that we are talking more than physical growth here. That as he was waxing strong in spirit, as he was increasing in wisdom, he was also increasing in stature. And you know, stature is personality. He was developing a personality. And he was increasing in favor with God and with man. So the question that I'm trying to trace is that, if this increase is possible, how did Jesus pursue it? How did he pursue it? Let's go around a bit. I want you to take, are you with me? Or are you tired already? Now, if you are not tired, I want to be sure that I'm carrying you along. It's because when you are dealing with concepts in the scriptures, we must take time to lay it before we draw application. Praise the Lord. Now, go to John. Go to John. Go to John. John chapter 3. Verse 35. John chapter 3, verse 35. The Father does what? Loves the Son. And what has he done? He has given all things into his hand. When a man grows in favor with God, God begins to delegate. God begins to hand over things into his hands. God begins to allow you to have access unto his things, into his purposes, into his people. As a man grows in favor with God. Now, but I'd like you to go on. Go to John 10. I want you to follow me to John 10. Maybe before John 10, John 5. Please look at John 5. Verse 19 and verse 20. Is anybody there who can read verse 19 and 20 for me with a loud voice? What version are you reading? Yes. The Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself doeth. That you may marvel. Now, you remember that in John chapter 3 verse 35, what did we notice? He said the Father does what? Loves the Son. And he did what? He has given him all things. Now we have come to chapter 5 now. He said the Father loves the Son. And what does he do now? Oh no. What did he do? He shows him all the things that he is himself is doing. And he will show me greater works than this that you may marvel. So when a man grows in favor with God, God brings him into confidence as to show him all the things that he himself is doing. Hallelujah. When Jesus Christ explained this and said, look, the Father loves the Son and shows him all the things that he himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. Again, I notice that when a man grows in favor with God, God becomes more and more open to him. God reveals to him so freely what he is about to do or what he is doing in any situation. When a man grows in favor with God, when a man becomes God's love pet, if I could put it like that, then God freely takes him and says, come and see what I'm doing. Come and see what I want to do. Come and see the things that is going to happen. Come and see what is about to happen. Praise the Lord. Now, go away from chapter 5. I want you to go quickly, if possible, to chapter 10. Let's see whether we can catch something in chapter 10. I want you to look at something Jesus introduced in chapter 10, from chapter 10, chapter 11, and up to chapter 12. We'll be seeing that when I'm conscious of my space that I want to deal with tonight. Now, in verse 16, verse 17 I want to read? That therefore, 10:17, does my Father do what? Love me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No man take it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Now, when we come to this, you begin to see Jesus Christ beginning to deal with something about growing in favor. Then my Father loves me because there's something I did. What is that thing? I lay down my life. Nobody forces me. I voluntarily lay down my life. I just want to please him. I just want him to be pleased. And you know, we read in Isaiah 53 that even though there's no guile in his mouth, even though he has not done anything wrong, yet he did what? He pleased the Father. Now, you see, when God finds a child like me or you, whom he does not struggle with, before he obeys him. A child who willingly lays down his rights, his conveniences, just to please God. When he finds a child who does not need to struggle with, God does not need to struggle to conquer him before he can do something for him. That child is going to win God's favor upon his life. Praise the Lord. He said, my Father loves me because I laid down my life. Go to chapter 12. I think if I could catch chapter 12 quickly, I wish I could catch that. Go to chapter 14. It came more clearly for me in 14. Chapter 12 is also very strong, but I want us to go to chapter 14. 14 towards the end of that verse. Verse 30 and 31. Are you there? Hereafter, I will not talk much with you. For the prince of this world cometh and has nothing in me. But, did you see that? But that the world may know that I do what? I love the Father. And as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Let us go hence. You know, there was a point in your life that you gave God something with a squeezed face. Eh? When it was the fear of going to hell that made you obey God. There's nothing wrong with that. That's where to begin. But you must not stay there. Hallelujah. You cannot stay there. When you are like that, you are not growing. When you start growing in favor with God, you are growing to become, you know, you yourself, you are excitedly longing to please God. You don't wait for Him to demand. You are saying, Lord, what will you want to do with this? How many of you know that? Some of you that by the grace of God, you started growing in giving. When anything comes to your hand, the first thing in your heart is to give it to God and say, God, what do you want to do with this? Where would you like to use it? And to you, it is not a big issue to give to God or to give to His people or to give to anything. Did you notice that when that began to happen to you, you didn't even need to ask God for any supply before supplies begin to fall on you? How many of you have understood that? That you see, all this big preaching about, oh, give, and no, when you grow to a point where you are willing to love God with all your substance, you want to love God with all your heart, you want to love God with everything that is in you, and the only thing that gives you pleasure is to give Him pleasure. Oh God, when you begin to grow like that, you are growing in favor with God. And God will no longer keep anything from you. Things will be dropping on you left and right. People will be looking for you to bless you. People will be saying, we dreamt yesterday that we should bring something to you. You say, ah, why did you dream about me? I don't know. Hallelujah. He said, the prince of this world came, he had found nothing in me. And I could have stood my ground and defended myself. But that the world may know that I love the Father. And that as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. That's how he went and faced death. Praise the Lord. Now, I want now to read one more passage with you before I now begin to apply the issues to me and to your life. Go to chapter 15 of John. Are you in John 15? Please go. I want you to read verse 9. Verse 10 and verse 11. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Now, that looks simple. But when you go to verse 10, you see, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Even as I've kept my Father's commandments, and what have I done? And I abide in His love. What does that mean? To abide in His love. What does that imply? To be within the circumference of Baba's love. Well, you know that several of you in families, in your family, it is difficult to hide a love favorite. And somehow, you will know that there's a particular child among all your brothers that your father or that your mother does what? Is their favorite. Sometimes when you are coming, it is you come, you, they will forget your name and be calling the other person's name. Has it happened to you before? Anytime they want to use, they want to make an illustration. Whom do they use for illustration? Is that boy. Whenever they are traveling and they want to give instructions about something to do, something, you are sitting down there as if you don't know anything. They will call that young man and tell you, I'm traveling. This one, this one, this one, this one, that one, that one. You know, quietly in your heart, if you are not that child, who is the Baba's love pet? You are asking, why now? But honestly speaking, when you check very well, you will discover that there's something that that boy does that you have never been careful to do. Or there are certain things that that child has been told not to do that he is no more doing, that you are stubbornly doing. If you look at it very well. Now, the Lord Jesus is saying, there is something I did that keeps me in my Father's love. Did you notice that? He said, I have kept my Father's commandments, and what have I done now? And I'm inside his love circle. If you also will keep my commandment, you will abide where? Within the circumference of my love. So that takes me onto how do I grow personally in favor with God. I had wanted to just simply say that if a man grows in favor with God, he will grow in favor with men. I want to say that. There will be some men that will attack you because you love God so much. But those men, you don't need their favor. Honestly speaking. Any man that does not love God, you don't need his love. You are not hearing me. If a man hates your father, do you want him to be your friend? There's no need. And such persons, their favor is of no use to you. But if you are in favor with God, anyone else who listens to God, they will be at peace with you. They will just love you. So, permit me to focus on growing in favor with God as the basic thing to do, and you will win favor with all men around you. So that's the one I want to deal with. How can I then grow in favor with God? How can I personally develop that? How can I develop that? How did Daniel develop that? How did Samuel become like that? How did even Mary say you're a woman favored by God? How did she become like that? There are few principles that we are noting here. I will repeat them. I've read them over and over, but I want to repeat them now because I want to set them down so that we can pray. Number one, you need to believe that it is possible for you to increase in favor with God. What did I say you need to do? You need to believe. You need to know that that thing is possible. that there's a possibility like that. And there's something like that to pursue as a child of God. As a child of God. I spoke yesterday night about growing in His presence, growing in intimacy with Him. Now I'm talking tonight about growing in His favor. Deliberately desiring to win Baba's favor. Now, you don't win God's favor by any other means. You win God's favor first and foremost by obeying Him. So, can I ask you, in order to grow in God's favor, can you deliberately grow in obeying God's word? If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love as I keep my Father's commandment and I am abiding in His love. The increase of your obedience to God's word. Please take note. There are two things I'm going to say about this, but let me say the first one. That the deliberate progressive increase in your obedience to God's commandments. That's number one. But the second part of it, which I'm a bit more serious about, is, you know, there are many Christians that they simply say, what does God say we should not do? They are looking only for what God said they should not do. But you know, when you love a man, when your love for God grows, you are not only looking for what He said you should not do. You are actually going beyond those minimum. You are beginning and say, Lord, what is it that you really desire me to do? What is it that makes God happy with me? So that desire for that growth makes you to search not for the commandments only, but to search for God's desire. The delight, your delight is in God's word. You are searching it again and again as if to discover something more that will make God happy, that will please God. You know, First John chapter 5 said, we know that God answers us, whatever we ask Him, because we obey His commandment and we do what pleases Him. How many of you would like to do what pleases God? There's one point. You are trying not to do what displeases God. But are you going to go to another extent of not just doing what displeases God, but going forward to doing what pleases God, what makes God excited? Now, that is something as a deliberate process, a deliberate growing, something that you are saying, oh God, since I started working with you, I want to please you more. I want you to look at me and be happy that you have a man, you have a child of God in this place. I want to please you. That's what takes you beyond what they discuss in fellowships. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. There may be no special law about how to dress. There may be no special commandment about what to spend your money on and what not to spend your money on. When you begin to grow in favor with God, such issues no longer depend on what people are saying on the outside. You are going to wear a dress and you are saying, Lord, does this please you? Do you like it? And you are becoming so intimate that God can say, actually, I don't like that. Even though everybody else may like it, but He doesn't like it for you. And it is not about going to make it a rule and regulation and say, if you want to be a Christian, don't wear this dress again. No. It is your own personal relationship with Him that did not allow that. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Now, can you come to that point where day by day, you are growing in favor with God? You are developing a relationship that God Himself is so happy that He can tell you even things that He will not tell others. Hallelujah. He could freely say, look, my son, I don't want you to be involved in this. It's not because if you did it, I will kill you. But I will be more happy that you honor me with your life this way. And this is not to be imposed. This is to be a voluntary desire in growth. Hallelujah. Now, what again did we see as the pursuit of God's favor? When I was looking at Samuel. Samuel was a man that overwhelmed my heart when I look at his growth. Do you know the Bible says that in the days of Eli, there were no more open visions. The word of God had become scarce. The priests have been misbehaving. You know, at the altar, light, the lamp must never go out. But now, in the days of Eli, the whole altar can be in darkness because the lamp has gone out. But the Bible said, for Samuel, just before the lamp will go out, what does he do? He goes to lie by the altar. I want to find out from you. Does he mean there is no room for him to sleep? Eh? There was a room. Everyone else has gone to sleep in their own house. Why is this young man lying down by the altar? That was the object of his love. That was what he longed for. As young as he was, there was something in him. I want to be with him. I don't know what to do, but I wish I can do something for you. This deliberate growth, this deliberate development, this deliberate calling of divine favor. Now, you remember that all I've been saying this night is a little different from what you know when they say, come for divine favor. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed that most of the time when people are talking about God's favor, they are talking about for you to get job, for you to get money, for you to be promoted, for you to jam lock. I'm not talking of that. I'm sorry. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about growing to become a man that God will say, like He said about Abraham, He said, how can I do something like this? And I would not have told Abraham, knowing that He will order His children to follow me. Do you understand? He has become a man that God can take into confidence. Do you want to grow to be like that? I'm asking a question tonight. Do you desire like that? It's a question of growth. It doesn't happen to anybody automatically. It's a desire that you must nurture. You need to go from ordinary rules and regulations. You need to move beyond and say we should not do this. In our fellowship, they say we should give tithe. I'm giving my tithe. What are they warning people about? No. This man said, I lay down my life by myself. God did not force me to do it. But I deliberately did it because I love Him. The prince of this world came looking for something. He cannot find anything in me. So I have my rights. but so that they may know that I love my Father and lay down my life. Let's go. Tonight, I'm praying that there will be an hunger in you. The hunger I'm praying for God to create in you is an hunger to personally pursue a favor with God. This, you know, is difficult for me to preach it to you because it doesn't look a normal thing to talk about. But there's something like that. There's something that endears your life to God, and you can grow in it. You can grow in it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. While we would be pressing for that, how can I sustain that kind of desire for growth in his favor? There was a man who pursued that, John. They call him John the Beloved. Do you remember him? I wonder why, among all the 12 disciples, they will normally, whenever they want to describe John, they say the disciple whom Jesus loved. I want to ask you, which of the disciples that Jesus did not love? You don't understand that what happened was that here was John who went beyond the ordinary, who found himself in the bosom of the Lord. Can you imagine that Peter wanted to know something about Judas Iscariot? He knew he would not get a direct answer, even if he asked the Lord. What did he do? He signaled John, he said. You know what he was saying? He said, I know that whatever you ask him, he will tell you. Can you ask him? So you can imagine, how did John come to that point? Do you know that the Bible reported that all other disciples ran away at the point of the cross? Do you know that there was one of them that stayed? Do you remember that even when Peter was standing outside there, it was John that went and spoke to one of the officials and said, please let this man come in. John was so close to Jesus that nobody could doubt whether he followed him or not. Do you understand? Nobody querying him. You are with him. It's not a question. I'm with him. I'm always putting my head on his breast. So that you can't say whether I'm with him. I'm with him. And I am inside this courtroom because I am with him. Do you understand that? How did John come to that point? That question worries me for some years. That has made me to do a very personal, deliberate study of John and his writings. Whether the gospel or the epistles or the revelation. Can you imagine? At the point of the cross, and Jesus is looking at who can I hand over my mother to? He has found a man. And he looked at John. And the way he spoke to John, something else. I want to be like that. I want to grow to become a man that God can entrust. You don't know. Well, because I'm not talking to preachers now, particularly and the ministers, I would have been talking to you on this note. That Unless you grow in favor with God, God cannot entrust very, very special aspect of His church to your hand. There's need for that growth. John had become something to Jesus. He said, "Son, behold your mother. Mother, behold your son." You know, they were not related. You are not hearing me? They are not related, though. It was discipleship that brought John. John was the son of Zebedee. They are not related. But how would Jesus look at his mother and say, "Mother, behold your son. Son, look at your mother." And the Bible says, from that day, John took Mary, the mother of Jesus, to where? To his own house. But let me ask you, didn't Jesus have junior brothers? Can you imagine what I'm talking about? That we are all in discipleship. And you now, I'm now handing my mother to a disciple and say, "That's your son." When I have brothers, that's what we're talking about. John came to that. But then I say, how did John come to that? I found some few things in the life of John. Number one, I found that John was so keen about the person of Jesus, about the personality of Jesus. It was Jesus he wanted to know. I read his Bible, his gospel, and I found that whereas all other gospel stories, Matthew, Luke, Mark, they were more concerned about miracles. You will notice that in the book of John, there were few miracles that he reported. And anytime he reported a miracle, he reported a miracle not about the miracle, but about him, Jesus. He painted miracles in order to paint him. He was a love pet. He just fell in love with Jesus, and he just wanted to know him, and whatever it would cost, he followed. When Peter was saying, "What will this man do?" Do you remember Jesus told Peter, "What concerns you about that?" Because here is a man that has been following. He has never backslidden since he met Jesus. Hallelujah. There are areas of his life that Jesus has corrected. He used to be a fierce man, but the spirit of love fell on him. At the end of the day, the Bible said to John, the beloved, "Say, come up here, that I may show you the things that will happen." He said, the Father loves the Son and shows him everything he does. I found that it was not only Jesus that the Father will show everything he does. Now, there's a John that God will say, "Come and see. Let me tell you what I'm doing." So John and Daniel, they were in the same class. Daniel was also the beloved. And John also is called the beloved. How did they come into it? And I'm designing this night. I'm going to ask you to join me in prayer about this. The reason why I'm begging God to do that for you is that if you create hunger for this kind of growth, many issues will be resolved in your life. You see, we will not be talking about sin for you anymore. Because you'll be asking yourself, how can I break the heart of Jesus with a misbehavior? How can I so disappoint him who loves me so much? Sometimes I want to ask, "Mr. Sin, what do you offer me? That you want me to serve you? For what? How can I break the heart of a lover like Jesus?" When your pursuit to abide in his love to grow in his favor when it becomes clear. We won't be struggling with what to do with money. What will you be doing with money? Sincerely speaking, what do you want to spend money for? If it is not to please him, if it is not to be in his presence, if it is not to serve him, what do you want to do with money? And what do you want to do with your opportunities if it is not for him? This night, Jesus said, if you do this, you will abide in my love, even as I abide in my Father's love. As we call on God tonight, I want to stop on this. So what are the issues? What are the ways in which they pursued it? Number one, they believed it is possible. Praise the Lord. They believe they can build that kind of relationship. Number two, they went beyond the minimum commandments. They were not only doing things that he said they should not do. They went beyond that. They were looking for things that, even though he didn't tell them to do, they did what pleases him. Will you begin to search from tonight what pleases God? Can I find people among you who say, Lord, I wish I become a man that you can commit delicate things to my heart. Delicate things. Delegate responsibility. Delegate. The more you grow in favor with God, the more he's willing to commit serious trust into your heart. Serious trust. As I draw this to a conclusion for tonight, can I put two questions before you? I've dealt with dimensions of spiritual growth. Will you want to grow? Eh? Will you make it your desire to grow in grace and to grow in the knowledge of God? Will it go beyond people's exhortation? Whereby we are not putting this matter on fellowship attendance. You will attend fellowship. Praise the Lord. Because I'm glad when they say, let us go into the house of the Lord. There will be a joy in your heart to want to actually be in the presence of God. But can we take it beyond fellowship? That you personally, it will become your personal pursuit, your personal project. Lord, I want to grow in your favor. I want to love you more. I want to be in your love circle. I want to be one of those men. There may not be too many in my community, but men that anytime you are visiting, it is because I'm around that you are visiting that place. Do you desire that? Can you say, Lord, it's not money I want. It's not goods I want. I want you. This morning I was doing my prayer time, and a big question came to my mind. And the question was, again, the prodigal son. You remember the prodigal son? He came to his father. He said, Father, give me the portion of your goods that fall to me. And the father gave him because it was his right. And the question that was coming to my mind this morning is, what will you use your relationship with the father to collect? What do you use my relationship with you to collect? Suddenly I said, the prodigal son collected goods. But I don't want goods. I want to use my relationship with you to collect you. It's your bosom I want. I don't want goods. I don't even want ministry. I want Him. I want to grow to know Him. I know there will be much ministry coming out of this favor. Because when God decides to favor a man and you are in His favor and He has trusted you, He will commit things to you. Eh? He will hand over things to you. He will show you what He's doing. He will entrust you with wonderful things. I don't want ministry, I want Him. And I want to share with you that this cry, nobody else can do it for you. It has to be personal. As we bring this meeting to this kind of conclusion tonight, can I see brothers and sisters who are saying, Lord, it's you I want. I want to grow in favor with you. Sisters, you know what I mean. You know it. Men, sisters are better in understanding this kind of thing. You know what you do to win affection. Ladies, they do that better. Am I right? And you know, ladies, they are more sensitive to affection. Whereas a man, I don't know whether he knows what matters. And then he says, yes, yes, what do you want? What? I do this, I do that, and go, finish. But the woman is more concerned about relationship. Affection is the way he looks at me. I don't know whether he loves me the way he's looking at me. The man said, how did I look at you? And I said, I love you. That's okay, huh? The woman is saying, it's not okay. There is something that you don't express that is valuable relationship. I pray that that kind of affection will rise in your heart. And you want to pursue it. Again, I've come to a point again tonight where I can only pray. Because what I'm asking for God to do for you, if it happens, I will meet you again. And I will hear you say, sir, since that meeting, something has changed about me. There is a very aggressive desire in me that is saying there's something more in God that I want. So when Paul said, all things that were gained to me, I count them for loss, that I may know Him. That I may be found. Do you remember I said that I may be found in His righteousness? Did He say something like that? And those are brothers, they understood. That's why they were mightily used. That's why mysteries that you couldn't imagine, God just releases it to him. These are brothers that God will take to his side and say, this thing I'm telling you, don't tell anybody. It's not meant for people to hear, it's between me and you. What I'm telling you is between me and you. Don't tell somebody. And for years, you will not be allowed to say anything like that. Because God has found a man he can trust. Can God find such among us tonight? Eh? Yes, why not? Why not? Why not? I think you are a candidate. I think so. Why not? I would like to pray. I'll just pray gently, and I will expect you to pray. If you want to stand up, let's pray together. If you want to kneel down, anyhow. But let's pray. I would like to pray gently. I'm ending a bit earlier because I want you to exercise your prayer. I want you to exercise. I want you to pray. I want something to happen to you. Let me pray first. Let's pray. Draw me nearer, blessed, to where thou art. Oh Lord, draw me. Oh, to my precious leading. Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. As my soul looks up with a steadfast hope, let my way be lost in thine, O Lord. To the cross where thou wast, O Lord, draw me near. Draw me near. Oh God. Oh God. Oh God. Oh God. Oh God. Great success. Great honor in this place. Great, great honor. What a pure delight of a single that before thy throne I stand. When I need commune as friend with a friend. Friend with a friend. Draw me nearer. Oh, Roboshinda Yama. Marabasandoro. Jekarubasamarakatu. Oh Lord, my God to thee. Nearer, my God to thee. Nearer to thee. Thank you. Thank you. It is one wrong thing that has stagnated their growth. They were growing before. Suddenly everything just stopped. Father, release them in the name of Jesus. Those that have come out and said, Lord, I know I've been doing things that does not please you. Please have mercy tonight and give us another opportunity in the name of Jesus. Some have experienced your favor to a level and they destroyed it. They scattered it. They went into something and they finished it. Saul was a highly favored man before, but he squandered it. Lord, is there somebody kneeling down before you and said, Lord, I know, I've lost your presence. There's still somebody there. You have lost the divine. You don't sense his presence anymore. Everything about you is now dry. Just come out quickly. Come out before I conclude this prayer. There's going to be a restoration tonight. God is going to come afresh to you. There's a fresh visitation of God in your life tonight. Father, tonight, those that lost that divine presence, that precious freshness, they are now like walking about in the wilderness. And they are just traveling around in circles. Everything has become dry. Tonight, Father, I'm asking, speak into their dryness. Grant them a measure of your presence afresh in the name of Jesus. Open the word of God afresh tonight. Open the word afresh tonight. Open it afresh to their spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I just want to stand on their behalf. That this superficiality must stop. It has allowed them to be restless. They have been years in the faith, but they are nowhere. This night, Father, break that matter. That from here, there is going to be a steady displacement towards perfection, towards maturity. You will do that for us in the name of Jesus. Lord, I'm asking, those that have been in this condition of dryness for years, let it break tonight. Those that have dwelt under the frown, they've never seen you smile at them again. Some, because they went into a wrong marital relationship, they have entered into your frown. Everything they are doing now, there's a note of rejection. Father, as they step out before you tonight, have mercy on us. Lord, I pray that the blood of Jesus will cleanse them from this matter. And as they decide to retrace their step and say, I'm going back home. I'm going to where I belong. Lord, as you step forth your hands to the prodigal son, so will you do tonight in the name of Jesus. Let there be restoration in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Some of you, your gifts are coming back to you. Lord, let there be a restoration of their spiritual gifts. Let the release of the presence, the release of the anointing come upon you again in the name of Jesus. Thank you. Just go ahead and praise the Lord. Just thank Him. Just pray. The Holy Spirit has come to do a deep work in your heart tonight. Just give Him that space. Just give Him that space. Just worship and just say, Lord, I thank you. I thank you that a new beginning has come. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Kimarama Shandorobosu. It's a new beginning. Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. A retrace of our steps have come, Lord. Thank you.
For further inquiries and counsel, please contact Refuge Media, No. 1 Constitution Road, Trinity Methodist Shopping Arcade, P.O. Box 7332, Telephone 070 0709-719-9745, 0703456-8035. Email treasuresteam@yahoo.com or visit our website at www.theplaceofrefuge.org.